Let's turn to the book of Galatians for our scripture reading for today. We are going to read Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 9. Galatians 6 through 9, I will be reading out of an NASB translation Bible. I have those same words up here on the screen. If you care to follow along with me in your Bibles, that would be great. If you don't have your Bible with you, we have pew Bibles, or you can just read the words up here on the screen. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read these four verses from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. And the Apostle Paul writes this to the people at the churches in Galatia. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. We'll stop there. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, another interesting four verses from this book of Galatians. And Father, we want to learn from it. I'm going to preach a message on it, Lord. And I'm just asking, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. That, Father, your scriptures change us in some way, shape, or form here this morning. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we continue in this expository study of the book of Galatians. And this is message number 20. And I have titled today's message, Those Who Are of Faith. And the Apostle Paul uses these exact words twice in those four verses that I read this morning, once in verse number 7 and again in verse number 9. This morning there are three main truths that I want to point out about today's scripture reading. Probably a lot more that we could learn, but three main ones, and they're going to be this. This is what we'll cover this morning. Number one, Abraham's belief in God was reckoned as his righteousness. See that in verse number 6. Number 2, Gentiles would also be blessed as children of Abraham. We'll find that in verse number 8. And number 3, only those of faith are children of Abraham. And we see that in verses 7 and 9. To sum this up, what the Apostle Paul is saying is that the promise of salvation is through Abraham. It is for all people, and it is only by faith. So let's dig into all three of these truths here today and see why Paul wanted to use this example of Abraham for the people in the churches at Galatia. And to do that, first, a little Bible history lesson. Up until about 4,000 years ago, about 2000 BC, there was no such thing as God's people or God's chosen people. There were just people. Somewhere around that time, again, around 2000 BC, God decided to make a nation for his own. In the 12th chapter of Genesis, God chooses a man named Abram, who later becomes Abraham, and through a promise that God makes with this man, he would be a father of a great nation. So let's look at that text back from Genesis chapter 12 in verses 1 through 3. This is the first time in the Bible that we hear about this man, Abram. And the word of God says this, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So we see here in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, God chooses Abraham to be the father of this great nation that we know as Israel, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, the Jewish people. This was God's promise to Abram. Then we are told in Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6, that it was Abram's faith, his belief in God's promise, that made him righteous, that was reckoned to him as righteous, or as we would say today, is what saved him. Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6. And he took him outside, he being God, took him, Abram, outside and said, "Now look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then he, being Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, reckoned it to him as righteousness. So we see Abraham's belief was reckoned to him as righteousness. And the Apostle Paul wants to make sure that the Galatians know that it was Abraham's belief, it was his faith and not his works that made him righteous in the eyes of God. We see Genesis 15, 5, 6, and these are the words from Galatians 3, 6 that we just read. It's as if Paul is quoting those words back from Genesis. "Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." And Paul wants the Galatians and us to know and to understand that salvation, justification, righteousness, call it what you want, is by faith. It is by what we believe. And it always has been the path of salvation. So let's go back to our 3 points and we can check off point number one. Abraham's belief in God was reckoned as his righteousness. We talked about that. We got that from verse 6. We went back to Genesis and looked that up, and we see where Paul is making that connection. So let's move on. Point number two. The Gentiles would also be blessed as children of Abraham. We see that in verse number 8. So let's talk about that here for a second. The promise of God concerning righteousness for those who could be saved followed, as we can see in this little chart that I made up, started with Abraham. It went down through his son Isaac, down through Jacob, and then down through the 12 tribes of Jacob. But we all know that Abraham did have another son, Ishmael, but God's promise does not follow Ishmael. Jacob had a twin brother, Esau, but we can see from the chart that Esau, the promise did not follow Esau either. It followed Jacob. This was the lineage of God's promise. And this promise that God made to Abraham would not be just for the Jew. It looks like it's just for the Jewish nation there, but also it was going to be for us, the Gentile people, praise the Lord, to people from all nations who believe. I'm going to put 4 different scripture verses up here that will attest that God's promise was not just for the Jewish nation, but also for all nations. First, let's look at Genesis 22, 18. In Genesis 22, that was where the Mount Moriah episode, where Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain to be sacrificed. We all know that story. But the Lord says this to Abram in verse number 18. "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So we see that all the nations here in Genesis 22. Isaiah 49, verse 6. "Indeed," he says, "it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you, Jesus, as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation, where? To the ends of the earth. So we see once again where Gentiles are going to be included in the promise. Scripture verse number 3. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. From Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 10. The Gentiles, people like us, we will seek the Lord. And then the fourth and final one, and this one might come as a surprise to you, and you might say, I never thought of this verse that way. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We all know this verse. If you watch videos of people in football stadiums, they'll be holding up a big sign that says John 3:16. Well, this is John 3:16. But the part that people so often overlook is this. Does it say, I don't know, I'm asking you a question, does it say, for God just so loved just the Jews? Does not say that, does it? It says, for God so loved who? The world. Everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his begotten Son, and we know that begotten Son to be Jesus. Well, Paul wants to make sure the Galatians know that the Gentiles would be justified by the same faith that justified Abraham. And he says this in verse number 8. The scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and we just reviewed 4 different scriptures, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. And we see that he was quoting Genesis 22, verse 18, in your seed all the nations shall be blessed in you. So Paul wants the Galatians and us here about 2,000 years later to understand that salvation, justification, righteousness, call it what you want, is for anyone and it's for everyone, regardless if you're a Jew or Gentile. Now, let's get back to our 3 points. Now, we have 2 of them checked off. We've verified that point number 2, the Gentiles would also be blessed as children of Abraham. We saw that in verse number 8. We searched the scriptures and found proof of that. And now we're going to get to point number 3. Only those of faith are children of Abraham. Point number 3, and I saved this one for last, because this is where we're going to have and see our biggest issues. So let's look more at those 2 different verses, verses 7 and 9. What does Paul say? Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham, verse number 7. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer, verse number 9. He's virtually saying the same thing in both of those verses. He repeats, those who are of faith, and that's where I got the title for this message, those who are of faith. So the equation is pretty clear, according to the Apostle Paul. To be a child of Abraham, to be a child of the promise and to receive the promise, to be blessed through Abraham, one must have, very simply, the same faith that Abraham had. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. But many people in the time of Jesus, and many people today, don't quite understand the simplicity of the gospel message. They are relying on one of 3 things. One, they rely on either their ethnicity, or they rely on some human tradition, or they some work that they can do that gives them a sense in some way of thinking that they have been reckoned righteous in the eyes of God, when in reality they have not. Let's talk about 2,000 years ago in the time of Jesus. It was very common thinking in those days that a Jew would believe that they were righteous in the eyes of God. And for one very simple reason. And what would that reason be? Because they were Jewish. That's the only reason. They are one of God's chosen. A Jew would assume that they were right with God just because of that one reason and that reason only, of their Jewish heritage. Let's look at three scripture verses that attest to this, all from the New Testament at the time of Jesus. Actually, four, I believe I'm going to have. The first one, and this is John the Baptist from Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And he is talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he says this to them, "Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham." John the Baptist, he didn't pull any punches. He just told it like it was. And he's essentially saying, if you guys think that you have it just because you have Abraham as your father, hey, God can raise up rocks that will say the same thing. So we have John the Baptist saying that. Let's move to the words of Jesus. This is Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 39. He's just talking to the general crowd, and he says this. They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham." Do the deeds of Abraham. What did Abraham do? It's very simple. We've already talked about it. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as his righteousness. So we have John the Baptist talking about it. We have Jesus talking about it. Let's look at the Apostle Paul from Romans chapter 9, verses 6b through 7a. "For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants." The Apostle Paul knew this, and I could almost guarantee, and I don't know this for sure, but I would believe that Paul thought at one time before he, way back when he was still Saul, that he thought, "I'm okay. I'm a Jew. Abraham's my father. I'm one of his descendants." And then Paul had to realize the truth that not all are children because you're one of Abraham's descendants. So we have Paul saying this, and we got one more. This is the Apostle John, and he says this in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." So how does one not become a child of God? Not born of natural descent. Even John is saying this. Just because you are a Jew, that you are a descendant of Abraham, does not automatically make you a child of God. Salvation never has been an ethnic lineage issue. It's always been a faith issue. Paul wants the Galatians and us to understand that it is only those who believe and have faith like Abraham that are Abraham's children and are blessed with the promises of God. So the Galatians did not need to be deceived into thinking otherwise, and neither do we. But let's shift gears. We talked about the Jews. What about people today? What about people today? Millions, if not billions, of people today, they might not be saying, "Well, we have Abraham as our father." But they are saying something very similar. So what do people say today that is similar to believing that we have Abraham as our father? What are they saying that makes them think and believe that, hey, I am reckoned righteous with God because of fill in the blank? And we're going to fill in the blank I got 10 fill-in-the-blanks that I'm going to quickly go through. These are 10 things that people will say today that make them believe that I'm right with God, and I am a child of God and a child of the promise of Abraham. So what do they say? Let's go through this list rather quickly. And number one, hey, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Catholic. I'm right with God. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Jew. I know I'm right with God. How many people today will respond by giving their religious denomination affiliation when you ask them, are you a Christian? Well, of course I am. I go to the big Baptist church down the road. You know the one that just put on that $3 million addition? Yep, that's my church. People will use that as an excuse. That's their way of saying, we have Abraham as our father. Number two, I teach Sunday school. What a great place to be. And praise the Lord for people who teach Sunday school. But I assure you, not all people who teach Sunday school are right with God. I know, because I did it for years. I taught Sunday school at a former church. Why did I do it? Because they needed a warm body to fill a position. And I was willing to do it. And there I was teaching Sunday school people about this, and I had no clue what this was all about because I did not have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So there are people who teach Sunday school who will use that as saying, I'm right with God. Number three, I go on mission trips. Mission trips are good things. We need to help out other people who are less fortunate than us. I understand that. But there will be some people who will say that this is their righteousness because they earned it. I went on that mission trip. Do you realize that I took off 10 days from work so I could go to that other country and help build that little mission church there? And I sacrificed 10 days out of my life, and I even forked up all the money myself to get there. I go on mission trips. This is how some people believe they are right with God. And they are sadly mistaken. Number four, I go to church every Sunday. It speaks for itself. How many people are sitting in a church on a Sunday morning who go because it's an obligation to do so? It's Sunday. I have to go to church. Folks, I hope you come to church or you go to a church, whatever church that is, not because you have to, but because you want to. This is where you go to worship God on a Sunday morning. Again, I found myself in that point right there for many, many years. Number five, well, my parents were Christians, so that's got to make me right, right? They were good. Dad and Mom, they were always sitting around reading the Bible, and I always heard them talk about Jesus and salvation and all this stuff. And I grew up in their home. I got to be okay because I'm their kid. And they will use that as their righteousness. Number six, I give money to the church. It's not only that I go to church every Sunday, but I take it to the next level. When the basket comes around, I put in money. And if you really want to know how much money I put in, I'll be more than happy to share that with you. Because I put in a lot of money into the church. Giving money to the church is a good thing. All these things are good things. But they are never the reason to believe that we are righteous in the eyes of God. The next one. I'm a deacon. I'm an elder. I'm a pastor. How many people will say that because they are in a position in church of authority, of being a deacon or being an elder, which are responsible positions, that's their in. That's their in. What about me? What about, I'm your pastor. So guess what, folks? You know I got to be saved, right? I got to be. Why else would I be up here preaching to you every Sunday? I got to be saved. I'm a pastor. Trust me. Not all people in these three positions are righteous in the eyes of God. Don't let the position fool you. Next one. This is similar to the mission trip. I volunteer at the food bank. Again, a great thing to do. If we have the time and we can volunteer for things, then we should do that because it's good to serve other people. But again, when you look at this as the reason why I am righteous in the eyes of the Lord, and you're using your works to convince God of that, it's not going to work. A good thing to do? Absolutely. But it's not going to make you righteous in the eyes of God. Number 9. Well, I was baptized when I was 12. You know, okay, I'm 67 now, but you know what? I did a really good thing when I was 12. A whole bunch of people were getting baptized, and you know, I kind of made a commitment at that time. And also along with this, you got, I went forward at the altar call, or you know, I raised my hand when the pastor said, who wants to give their life to Jesus? And I raised my hand, or I signed that card. I was baptized when I was 12. Being baptized is an outward sign of an inward change. And we do baptize people here at this church when there has been an inward change. But don't let the outward sign convince anyone that this is what solidifies their salvation, their righteousness in the eyes of the Lord. And then number 10, I saved the best one for last. And I'll bet you know what it's going to say. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. You've heard this testimony, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. It was somewhere in April of 1994. I was attending a Bible study at where I worked, over at Genicom in Waynesboro. I was attending a Bible study, didn't know nothing about the Bible, didn't know nothing about Jesus, didn't know nothing about religion, but it seemed like a good way to spend a Wednesday lunchtime with other people. Until one day in April of 94, when Jim, who was teaching the class, caught me after class and said, Mike, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Guess what my answer was? I'm a good person. I volunteered at the church food bank. I was the lay leader of the church at that time. Oh, yeah, I give money to the church. I do go to church every Sunday. I didn't do very many mission trips, but I taught Sunday school. And I'm a United Methodist. I got to be okay. About 8 of those 10 reasons I gave him to say that I'm right with God. Look at me. Look at all the good things that I do. And that's what Jim responded back and said, Mike, all those are good things to do, and we should do good things. But all those things in and of themselves will never save anybody. And that's when he looked at me right in the eye and he said, Mike, if this is all you got, you're on your way to hell. Boom! If that doesn't catch your attention, then I don't know what does. Because for the first 40 years of my life, I did these things because I wanted to earn my way into the righteousness of God. And then I asked Jim, well, Jim, if this doesn't work, what do I do? And that's when he shared the gospel with me. Have faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He died in your place, Mike. He rose from the grave. And it's nothing that you can contribute or nothing that you can do. And the simplicity of the gospel was so overwhelming for me that day in April of 94 that the chains were broken and the burden was gone. And I learned of the simplicity of the gospel message. Had nothing to do with, hey, but Abraham's my father. I could have probably thrown that one in there somewhere, but I threw a lot of these other ones in there. and none of them work. They never have, and they never will. Sure, once we are saved, these are good things to do. But let's draw the line there. These things do not get us there. These are the cart that goes after the horse, and the horse is our belief in a Savior and what he did on the cross and rising from the grave. And we all know that this list could go on and on and on. We could all add and contribute some things to these. But saying all of those things, all of these things that I've listed there, today is no different than a Jew 2,000 years ago saying, we have Father Abraham. None of these lines that I mentioned, and if this is all you got, none of these lines will pave my way or your way into having righteousness reckoned to either one of us. It's just not going to happen. So what does? What does? Well, what's the title of the message? Those who are of what? Faith. Faith. Those who are of faith. Those who are of faith. God, listen, God heard, excuse me, let me start this again. Abraham heard God. Abraham believed God by faith, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness 4,000 years ago. Let's move to 2021. We hear the good news gospel message through the word of God. We believe it by faith, and it is reckoned to us as righteousness. Not our works, not our status, nothing has changed. We hear, Abraham heard, he believed, it was credited as righteousness. We hear, we believe, it's credited to us as righteousness. So now we have point number three complete. Receiving the promise of righteousness from God is for those who are of faith, just like Abraham was a man of faith. Next week, we're going to move on to verses 10 through 14, and we'll move on in our expository study of the book of Galatians.